sky. As soon as the rescue capsule arrives, climb aboard.
Virgil, hovering overhead in Thunderbird 2, lowers the rescue capsule.
Come on! Thunderbird 2 from Thunderbird 4, the co-pilot's aboard the capsule. The pilot should be aboard in a couple of seconds.
Thunderbird 2, FAB. Are you aboard the rescue capsule? Sing out if you are. I can hear you over the radio.
Okay. All aboard.
Right. Hold tight.
Virgil winches the rescue capsule back aboard Thunderbird 2 and leaves the area.
Thunderbird 2 to mobile control and Thunderbird 4. I'm clearing area. Looks like she's going up any second.
Gordon in Thunderbird 4 speeds away from the burning fire flash, and not a moment too soon, for it explodes into a huge ball of flame. Later, at International Rescue Headquarters, the rescue team watches a news telecast about the rescue of the crew.
And so the test crew of Fire Flash are safe. Once again, International Rescue saved the day. We understand from the International Air Ministry that a report radioed to London by the International Rescue Eggheads may provide an answer to the technical fault which has bugged the Fire Flash aircraft in these past few weeks.
Boys, I'd like to add my thanks. Well done, all of you.
At that moment, Alan Tracy contacts them from the orbiting communications satellite with more news.
All right, go ahead, Alan.
I've been listening to the bulletins from London, Father. And according to the latest news flash, there's a top-level meeting about the fire flash going on right now.
At the International Air Ministry in London, discussions continue in earnest.
Gentlemen, can I have your attention, please? Thank you. It now seems quite certain that the fault in the fire flash has been traced to the hydraulic system. But what causes the fault is something that remains to be discovered. So far, we have developed three different theories, all of which place the trouble in the starboard wing. I propose that for the present we pursue these three theories. I can't see what else we can do.
Jeff Tracy has his own ideas.
I can't see what else we can do. The cause of the fire flash disasters can only be found whilst the aircraft is actually in flight.
Gee, if only they'd let us fly one of them, with Thunderbird 2 alongside to help if need be.
Well, how about that, Father?
Right, it's settled. We must contact London straight away. Tinton?
Yes, Mr. Tracy?
Take a letter, Tinton. I think it's time for International Rescue to act.
The Air Ministry in London gratefully accept International Rescue's offer of help. The Air Minister arranges for his most experienced pilot, Captain Hansen, to fly with Scott Tracy on a special test flight to San Francisco. And this time, they are taking no chances. The entire operation is given a top-secret classification, and airport security tightened. The International Rescue Team make their final preparations for the flight.
I've been in touch with the airport, Father. Preparations for Virgil's arrival seem to be well underway.
Thank you, Alan. Virgil is going to reach London at noon.
What form will the rescue operation take?
Well, it's difficult to say at present, Alan. But Virgil is loaded up with Pod 4, the diving escape bell, and the laser beam cutter. Anyway, keep in touch with London Control in case they want any help with procedure.
Will do, Father. Thunderbird 2 should be crossing the British coast any moment now.
Crossing the coast now.
Right. Let's prepare for touchdown now, fellas.
With the imminent arrival of International Rescue Craft Thunderbird 4, London Airport Control swiftly moves into action.
International Rescue crossing the coast now, sir.
Right. Get the fire flash lined up at the end of runway 27.
Yes, sir. Fire flash from control tower. Fire flash from control tower. Taxi out to end of runway 27 and await further instructions.
Yes, sir.
Fire flash in position, sir, on runway 27.
Good. Instruct all personnel, with the exception of Captain Hansen, to vacate the aircraft.
There you go, sir.
We're at International Rescue now.
ETA now 6 minutes, sir.
Good. Seal the airport.
Yes, sir.
Ah!
it is. Fully operational, sir.
Right. What time is it?
12:03, sir. And no sign of them.
Don't worry. They'll get here on time.
What an airport from International Rescue.
International Rescue craft approaching on flight path 29, sir. Calling London Airport from International Rescue.
Come in, International Rescue. Loud and clear.
We're approaching you along flight path 29. Request permission to land.
International Rescue from London Airport. You are clear to land. Do you require runway?
No, London. We'll not require runway.
Roger, International Rescue. London Airport has been sealed.
Fire flash standing by at the end of runway 27.
Thank you, London. Okay, Virgil. Everything's been laid out for us.
Losing height now.
12:00, sir.
Here she comes.
Boy, what timing. You know, you've got to hand it to those fellas.
As Thunderbird 2 gently touches down in the runway alongside the new Fireflash airliner, on the other side of the world, Jeff Tracy is in contact with Alan in the communications satellite.
Thunderbird 2 has touched down at London, Father.
Right. Now, hear this, Alan. I want you to organize and maintain constant contact between yourself, Thunderbird 2, and the Fireflash. Is that clear?
Yes, Father.
Nothing's got to go wrong this time. Nothing.
Okay, Father. Scott and Fireflash with Captain Hansen now.
Scott, aboard the Fireflash with Captain Hansen, tests the special communications frequency to be used on the test flight.
Can you hear us on this frequency, Alan? Virgil?
Hearing you strength 5, Scott.
Me too, Scott. Father's instructed me to maintain complete contact throughout the test flight.
Okay, Alan. We're switching to open contact.
Right. Got it.
Thank you, Fireflash, and good luck. London Control from International Rescue. We are ready to start testing Fireflash.
All right, International Rescue. You're clear to take off.
All right, Scott. Control has given us clearance.
Oh, thanks, Alan.
The giant supersonic aircraft taxis down the runway. And then, its jet engine screaming, hurtles down the runway for a perfect takeoff.
So long, Scott.
The sound barrier. Stand by to level out.
Alan reports the takeoff to Jeff Tracy and informs him that Virgil and Gordon in Thunderbird 2 are also airborne.
I'm at 150,000 feet on course. Well, how are you doing, Virgil?
Okay, Scott. I'm soon going to catch you up. Don't worry.
And Alan, I want a position check.
Okay, Scott. Give me your present fix.
We are at LS749-AP428.
No, Scott, your reading is wrong. You are 20 miles northwest of that point.
20 miles? Gee, there's some miscalculation.
Yeah, those controls are sure way off beat. All right, Alan, thanks.
You better tell Virgil.
Yeah, will do.
At London Control, they patiently await the Fireflash's first positioning report.
We ought to be getting the first reports from Fireflash soon. That must be them now.
Go ahead, Fireflash.
We found a fault in the automatic locator, London.
Fireflash was giving a wrong position.
Faulty locator? Well, that could explain a lot.
Furthermore, we're having trouble with a trim.
It looks as if the elevator power unit...
Fireflash. Come in, Fireflash. They've gone dead, sir.
It's the same pattern. The same pattern. First the EPU, then the radio goes.
London from Fireflash. London from Fireflash. Come in, London. It's no use. The radio's dead. We've lost contact with them.
Oh, no, we haven't. Not all together.
Alan, Virgil. Do you read me?
Sure do, Scott.
Loud and clear.
The Fireflash radio circuit is non-functional. Now, we're going to have to relay messages to London via Alan in the space station.
The gather is pretty desperate. Is that right?
Yeah. The EPU is negative.
How about the standby?
Oh, that's gone, too. It looks as if Fireflash is taking one colossal crash dive into the Atlantic Ocean. I just can't get the nose up.
Alan, in the communications satellite, contacts Scott urgently.
Scott, I've been through to London and explained about the EPU and radio failures. They say you should bail out and let them pick you up.
Bail out?
If we do that, we'll never know what the fault in Fireflash was. And so we'll be back to square one.
Virgil and Gordon in Thunderbird 2 have heard the conversation over the radio link.
Okay, Scott. It looks like we're going to have to try that little scheme we discussed earlier.
How long have we got till the Fireflash hits the water?
Well, judging by the present rate of descent, I'd say we've got about 15 minutes.
Did you get that? We've got 15 minutes.
As Virgil accelerates to bring Thunderbird 2 beneath the Fireflash, Gordon makes his way aft and puts on a flying suit and helmet with a special harness and oxygen mask. A hatch in the roof of Thunderbird 2 slides back as Gordon steps onto a special rocket platform. Steel clamps close around his legs and feet to hold him firm and secure.
Right. Be seeing you. I hope.
Okay, Scott. Hold the Fireflash dead steady. We'll adjust it from this end. It's going to be tricky, but we can do it safely, provided we don't get too much turbulence.
All right, Virgil. Is Gordon ready?
All set, Gordon?
Yep. Ready to go.
Virgil brings Thunderbird 2 into position immediately beneath the Fireflash. Both craft now hurtling through the sky at incredible speed.
All right. Open the hatch.
As the hatch in the Fireflash's starboard wing opens, it reveals for an instant a shadowy figure dressed in a flying suit, helmet, and oxygen mask. The man has a parachute strapped to his back. Gordon looks up, and the sinister figure ducks back out of sight.
Hey, that's funny. I
thought I saw someone.
What'd you say, Gordon?
Nothing. I'm just seeing things, that's all.
Right. Stand by to enter wing.
Gordon, standing on the special platform, twists a switch and fires a small rocket directly into the open cargo hold of the Fireflash's starboard wing. Attached to it is a line of flexible steel cable. The rocket has a special magnetic head that clamps itself to the fuselage inside the cargo hold, giving a firm anchor to the steel cable. The platform on which Gordon is standing is attached to the other end of the steel cable. With the steel cable now linking the two aircraft, Gordon flicks another switch, and a powerful motor winches him up into the airliner's starboard wing. Once safely aboard the Fireflash, Gordon contacts Scott by his helmet radio.
Where should I start then?
The EPU should be situated somewhere near the pyrometer cylinders.
Yeah, I think I can see them. I'm going to try and get a little closer.
Oh, what's the height now?
40,000 feet. We've got less than 4 minutes.
As the Fireflash plummets down towards the sea, Thunderbird 2 releases the steel cable and pulls away. Gordon carefully examines the complex electronic and hydraulic equipment inside the starboard wing. He makes a startling discovery. The main lead to the electrical power unit has been cut.
Wires have been interfered with.
The leads into the EPU have been cut.
They've been cut? Hey, what the blazes was that? It sounded like a shot. It couldn't be.
The sinister figure in the flying suit and mask is hiding behind one of the internal wing struts. He has an automatic pistol in his hand.
All right, International Rescue. I'm ready for you. Come on out.
Look, I don't know what your game is, but there's some pretty vital pieces of equipment around here that we don't want to smash if we can help it.
Who are you kidding? This aircraft is finished, and you know it. In just a couple of minutes more, it's going to make a mighty big splash in the ocean and then disappear like all the others.
With only 1.5 minutes to go before impact, the situation is desperate. So Gordon fires back. The stranger is surprised and not prepared for a long, drawn-out fight. Instead, he dives for the open hatchway.
I shouldn't jump if I were you. Your parachute would never open in time.
Oh, yeah.
Scott calls frantically from the flight deck.
Gordon, what's going on? Answer, please.
Come in, Gordon.
Look, Scott, there's no time to explain. We've had an uninvited guest lousing up the works in here. But I guess he won't give any more trouble.
Gordon, we've got 30 seconds left before we hit the water. That's too late to bail out. Can you fix the EPU?
No, Scott. I couldn't remake the joint in time. It would take too long.
10 seconds, Tracy.
As the fire flash hurtles towards certain destruction, Gordon picks up both pieces of the severed power cable in his gloved hands and at great risk holds them together. As the two ends connect, there's a blinding flash and sparks fly in all directions. But grimly, Gordon holds the cable together. Against all odds, it works. With power restored, Scott pulls the fire flash from out of her death dive and almost skimming the water brings the aircraft under control and turns her nose skyward. Later, back at International Rescue's secret island base, the Tracy family and other members of the team relax after the completion of another successful rescue mission. Their attention is drawn to a news telecast.
Thanks to the International Rescue Organization, the fire flash run from London to San Francisco is to be resumed next week. Police authorities in London have completed their investigations into the sabotaging of the aircraft and state that the efforts of International Rescue have led to the unmasking of the international gang bent on aircraft espionage. Particular stress was laid on the...
Not for Pete's sake.
Just at the most interesting part.
Oh, dear, I am sorry. Tintin and I were just putting the apple pies in the oven and the darn fuse blew.
Oh, I'm sure Gordon will soon fix that, Grandma.
Yeah, you remember what you said after the fire flash episode, Gordon? Just like fixing a fuse, you said.
Here I go again.
This is the end of Operation Crash Dive. This has been a Cambar presentation of a Gerry Anderson production made for ITC Entertainment Limited. FAB.